God's grace, His mercy, and His peace are yours. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word for our consideration, for our meditation, comes from John chapter 18. I'm just going to read verse 12. Then the detachment of soldiers, with its commander and the Jewish officials, arrested Jesus. They bound him. In the name of Christ Jesus, our great high priest, my fellow redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ. No one really knew for certain how he did it. They were amazed at what he did, but they certainly didn't know for sure how he did it. The year was 1904. And a London journalism company had just challenged one of the greatest, if not the greatest, escape artists of all time to a challenge. His name was Harry Houdini. And their challenge was this: escape from a pair of shackles that we have created that we think are the most impossible to break out of, and you are considered one of the greatest escape artists of all time. That was their offer. And so over 4,000 people and over 100 journalists all came to see if Harry Houdini could escape from those handcuffs. An hour and 10 minutes later, he escaped. And after all the cheering, after putting Harry Houdini on their shoulders after he escaped, it is said that Harry Houdini broke down and wept. Years later, Harry Houdini made it known that that escape in 1904 was one of the most difficult escapes of his career. An auction that was held just a few years ago put those handcuffs that Harry Houdini was in for sale. And they sold for over $6,000. Quite a price to pay for a unique pair of handcuffs. A unique pair of handcuffs to bind a unique person. When we think of binding people, what's usually the first thing that comes into our mind? Maybe we think of someone being shackled by their leg and having an iron ball attached to them, like on a chain gang. Or maybe we think of someone being detained down in a deep dungeon in a stockade. Why do we do those things? Why do we bind people? It's really quite easy. Send a message, isn't it? To send a message to that person that they might be a criminal. They might have done something to harm people. It might be to detain someone to keep them from throwing their arms at the person binding them, right? But in all reality, it sends a message, doesn't it? It says, I'm in charge, you're not. This afternoon, in our text that John gives to us, it's a crucial time. A crucial time in Jesus' life. A crucial time for us. Listen again to what John tells us. He says, then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him. Why bind Jesus' hands? Why bind those innocent hands of Jesus? Those hands that had been anything but harmful. Those innocent hands that had been there to help. Those hands that had been there to heal. Those hands that had been there to hold out for people to reach onto and hold onto. And now you're telling me that they had to bind Jesus' hands? Why him? You see, it's very easy for us to maybe point the finger to those soldiers. Those soldiers who condemned and arrested Jesus. Who arrested Jesus in that dark garden on that Maundy Thursday evening. But really, it brings us back to another time. Another time in a different garden when two different people were condemned to a similar fate, a similar consequence. A time when those two people were bound by sin. They were bound to death. A binding so tight that it seemed like nothing was going to be able to break them free. It's easy for us, too, to maybe think of ourselves. Our weak, helpless, selfish selves. All the times that we, too, have bound our Savior's hands. Whenever we have pointed the finger to someone else, to something else, all those times that we have said, "What have I done to deserve this? Am I a criminal? Why me?" Yet we did deserve to be treated harshly. We did deserve to be bound in the same way that Jesus did. We deserved it. And yet we see a different picture, don't we? And they brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Instead, we see a different scene, don't we? You and I both know that a little rope or a little shackle was not going to do much for the Son of God. Those soldiers could have bound Jesus as tightly as they could, but you and I know that it wasn't going to really make a difference. But instead, we see something incredible. We see grace. We see the most important type of love there is. We see the high priest Caiaphas, staring right into the eyes of the great high priest that was prophesied so long ago. We see Jesus being bound willingly for you. We see Jesus being bound to that cross of wood for you. That's grace. That is what your Savior was willing to do for you. We know how powerful bands can be. We know how powerful those ropes or those shackles on ourselves can really be sometimes. We know how powerful death's great bands can be. We see it all around us, don't we? We know that it's a little more tighter and a little more secure than a little rope. death's great bands will someday bind us all. And yet we have someone greater than that. We have someone who is able to overcome those great bands, who is able to overcome death's great bands in your place, who did it willingly, all for you. Yes, we may not know exactly how Harry Houdini really did all of his tricks. We may not know all of his secrets or all of his illusions. But my dear friends, we know something way more important. We know that Jesus broke those bands for you. He broke you free from those bands that seemed like they were too tight for us to overcome. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus who sets you free. Look to your boundless Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.